Welcome to Tarati Mecho Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcha, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Chof Ches, Chapter 28. Many of the psukim in this chapter are about human behavior in general. There are a lot of suggestions for smart ways to behave and less smart ways to behave, which is pretty much consistent with the rest of Mishlei. And in this perek, there are also quite a few psukim that specifically discuss rulers and leaders of society, and how corrupt and wicked leaders can have such a damaging effect on society. So let's learn a few psukim in the perek, beginning with pasuk tes. Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah, gam tfilosoi to'eva. He who turns his ear away from hearing Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Moshe says that the meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah, the one who turns his ear away from hearing Torah, he's not someone who doesn't learn. He's not someone who doesn't know any Torah. He's someone who learns plenty of Torah. He could be extremely learned. He could spend all day and night studying Torah, actually. But he doesn't hear Torah. Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah. He doesn't hear Torah, which means he doesn't have a Rebbe. He doesn't go to a shir. He doesn't recognize the importance of receiving from others. So he learns, but he doesn't learn from others. Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah. And that's why he says tfiloso toyeva. That's why his tefillah is an abomination. What is tefillah? Tefillah is a recognition that you need to receive, that you can't do it all yourself, that you're dependent. When we daven, we acknowledge our dependence. It's recognizing there's something I lack, there's something I don't have in myself that I need to receive. So if you can't acknowledge that you're dependent when it comes to learning Torah and to growing, and that we have a lack, and that we need to receive and we need to learn from other people, if you can't acknowledge this dependency and this lack in Torah, then your tefillah doesn't work either. You need this middah of dependency in order to be able to daven. So if we don't have it in learning from other people, then we can't have it in our davening either. And this is an amazing idea. It really highlights the importance of having teachers and role models in our lives and acknowledging that we don't have all the answers in ourselves. It's not enough to learn things ourselves. Learning on our own is also very important, but we have to be open to learning from other people. Everyone needs to have a rav, a mentor, a teacher, a role model, somebody that we can learn from. And when we have this attitude of dependence when it comes to learning and growing, when we recognize that there's a lack and there's something we can receive from outside of ourselves, then we can also approach Hashem from this place of dependence when it comes to davening in tefillah. Now the next pasuk we're going to learn is pasuk Yudgimel. Mechase b'sha'av lo yatzliach, he who covers up his sins will not be successful. Omoideh v'oizev yeruchom, but whoever confesses his sins and forsakes them, he will find mercy. So this pasuk has two ideas about teshuvah. The first one is that a critical part of teshuvah is that one needs to confess. Mechaseh v'shov lo yatzliach. If you try to cover up your sins and you pretend you didn't do them, and you make excuses and blame other people, so Shlomo HaMelech, your tefillah won't be successful. Taking responsibility for our actions is the first critical step. Because if it's someone else's fault, or something I couldn't have controlled, then how could I do better next time? So I need to be able to say, I did this, and it was wrong, and I could have done better. And it's only then that I have any hope of growth. M'chaseh v'shov lo yatzliach. If I try and cover it up, then I won't be successful in my teshuvah. And then the second idea in the pasuk is that for teshuvah to be effective, we also have to abandon the sin. It's umoideh v'oizev yeruchom. If you can admit that you did the wrong thing, umoideh, and also let go of the sinful behaviors and commit to doing better in the future, then Yeruchim, then you will find mercy. The Gemara in Tainus discusses this pasuk in the context of the idea of Toivel v'sheretz biyadai, that a person can go to the mikveh to purify himself of his impurity, and whilst he's immersing in the mikveh, he's holding a sheretz, which is a dead creeping animal that makes you impure if you touch it. So you can Toivel in all the waters of the world, but if you don't let go of that sheretz, you can't become pure. So long as you're holding on to it, the mikveh doesn't help. You need to let go of the sheretz. You need to let go of the source of impurity. You need to leave it behind. And then you can purify yourself. And in the same way, it's not enough to confess and apologize. It's not just an important step, but it's a critical step. But if you don't abandon the problematic behavior, it's not teshuvah. And this is true for sins bin Adam l'Makom, for sins between man and Hashem, and also for sins between man and man bin Adam l'Chaveru. In both of these situations, we need both of the elements. We need to own or admit the problematic behavior, and we also need to stop it. The Gra says that if a person wrongs a friend and he denies it or tries to cover it up, he will never succeed in putting it behind him. He will never succeed in mending this relationship. In order to mend a relationship, in order to be able to move on, then one needs to be able to say, I did this. And not, I did this, but. I did this and it was wrong and I'm sorry and I won't do it again. You know how sometimes people apologize and they say, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I took your parking spot. I'm sorry if I was too critical. That's mechaseh v'shav. It needs to be, I'm sorry that, with no but afterwards. And it was wrong, and I'm going to try not to do it again. And then, umayde v'ayzev yirucham, then the other person will have mercy and forgive them. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling us not to be defensive, but rather to be accountable, to take responsibility, not to justify or to downplay what we did or the consequences of what happened, but rather to have the courage to admit our mistakes, and then that will be our path for forgiveness and for connection again, both between other people and with Hashem. Now next, we're going to learn Psukim Tesvav and Teslayin, and they're both about corrupt and wicked leadership. Ari Nahim v'dov shokek, moishel rasha al amdol. A wicked ruler over an impoverished people is like a roaring lion and a growling bear. Explains the Metzudah that just like a roaring lion and a growling bear create a climate of fear and of intimidation, so too a wicked ruler also creates a climate of fear and of intimidation. And the Pasuk is speaking about Al-Amdal, over an impoverished people. A wicked ruler hurts the weakest people in society, and they use their power to intimidate other people, instead of living up to the responsibilities of power that we discussed in previous chapters. Now the Gra says that the way the lion commands and intimidates is through his roar, Arinoheim. His roar is loud and thunderous and it strikes terror in everybody's heart. And in contrast, the bear's growl is not particularly frightening, but the bear is dangerous and the bear is scary because it's relentlessly hungry. It's always looking for prey. It's always looking to make a kill. It's always thirsty for blood. And the Gra says that both of these traits can be seen in oppressive leadership when there's a reign of terror. There's intimidation through speech, through the mighty roar. Oppressive leaders rule with powerful, with threatening speech that creates a climate of fear. And there's also oppression through action, like the bear who's thirsty for blood. There's exploitation, there's plundering, there's corruption, there's stealing, there's killing. So that's the mashal of the bear and the lion in the pasuk. Now the Malbim says that these terms, Arinoheim and Dov Shokek, these are the specific noises that these animals make when they're hungry. The term for a roaring lion who's made to kill and he isn't hungry is shoyeg. But noheim, ari noheim in this pasuk, that's the word used to describe the sound that the lion makes when he's distressed because he doesn't have any prey, when he's hungry. And the word shokek, he says, is the word used to describe the bear when he's hungry and he's looking for food and he's out for blood. So the fact that these animals are hungry is particularly scary. They're even more dangerous when they're hungry because they'll do anything to get their food. So he says, when a wicked leader is ruling over an impoverished people, like the Pasuk describes, it's a particularly dangerous situation. It's like the hungry lion and the hungry bear. It's exacerbated. Because the people are impoverished, the leaders are hungry. If a corrupt ruler rules over a wealthy nation, so he could satisfy his greed by stealing their wealth, he could satisfy his hunger by seizing it from the people. And that's obviously not okay, but it's nowhere near as frightening as when somebody rules over an impoverished people and he's hungry and he's looking for kill and he's looking to devour whatever he can. He's so much more destructive and dangerous if he's hungry, as well as the fact that also in this case, it means he's plundering the poorest. And this is unfortunately such an accurate and tragic description of corrupt leadership. And unfortunately, there are still so many corrupt and predatory leaders in impoverished countries, and they're ruling over helpless and vulnerable people, and they rule with terror, and they're responsible for so much cruelty and so much destruction. In the next pasuk, this type of leader is contrasted with a leader who hates corruption. Noget chasar tvunois v'rav ma'ashkois, soy nevet zayarech yomim. The ruler who lacks understanding is also a great oppressor, but the one who hates corruption shall prolong days. Explains the Ralbag, the benevolent ruler who hates corruption, the soinei vetza, and he creates stability. He's yarech yomim. He prolongs the days of the people he governs. The people under his rule, they have longer life expectancy because he protects them from harm. And this is the opposite of the roaring lion and the bear that we described in the previous pasuk, who actively creates this culture of intimidation and of harm. Or alternatively, says the Ralbag, you could read this as Ya'arich Yomim, he will have prolonged days himself. The ruler who hates corruption will prolong his own rule because the people support his leadership. And this is also the opposite of the leader who's like the roaring lion. When there's a leader who's like a roaring lion, there's a climate of corruption and a climate of intimidation. The people can't tolerate the oppression, and it results in instability and in rebellion. And we see all of this play out in the world today. We see oppressive leadership in impoverished contexts, and it really does result in lower life expectancy and higher mortality rates because of corruption, because of stealing of resources, results in famine, diminished healthcare, and violence. And in those kinds of places, the people are unfortunately not Ya'arich Yomim, as described in this pasuk. And we also see oppressive leaders who are not Ya'arich Yomim. Baruch Hashem, we've seen corrupt and violent and oppressive dictatorships end. We've seen them end with rebellion and uprising and the downfall of the dictator and the collapse of the regime. Without naming any names, we've seen actual examples of this in the last 12 months. And Ken Yovdu Kol Ovecha Hashem, Hashem, may all your enemies go the same way. And then the final pasuk that we're going to learn today is pasuk Chaf Hei, Rechav Nefesh Yegorem Modon, Ovoteach Al Hashem Yedushon. A greedy heart provokes strife, but he who trusts in Hashem will luxuriate. So let's explain with the help of the Metzudah and with the Gra. Rechav Nefesh means greedy people. They're never satisfied with what they have. They're not Tzemeach B'chalkoi. And these kinds of people, they generally tend to suffer from a scarcity mentality. They believe there's a finite amount in the world. And anytime someone else has something, it means like there's less for them. They don't believe they ever have enough. They're always anxious about not having enough. And they're bitter about all the things that they don't have. And this results in Yegore Modon. It creates conflict. They're always picking fights. Because of their anxiety, or because they're bitter, or perhaps because they feel threatened by other people, they become combative, litigious, aggressive, and they're always starting some kind of conflict. But on the other hand, someone who trusts in Hashem has an abundance mentality. Hashem has the capacity to give everyone enough. There's enough for everyone. I have everything I need. Uvoteach al Hashem. He who trusts that Hashem has given him exactly what he needs, this person lives a life of contentment. He lives with a real, genuine feeling of abundance and of luxury. And this is a deeply relevant message in our consumerist society. There's so much social comparison and a constant pressure to buy more and to have more. And we get all this messaging that if you have more, you'll be happy. If you upgrade to the latest model, you'll feel better. But Shlomo HaMelech tells us that this mindset just creates frustration and resentment, and it can even result in aggression. So a quick summary. In this parak, we covered the importance of learning from Rabbonim and teachers, not to be that Meisir Ozna Mishmoya, not to be someone who won't listen from others. We also spoke about Tshuva, and we spoke about how it has to include an admission that we did something wrong, and also a commitment to do better in the future. We discussed the oppressive ruler, and we also spoke about greed and the mentality of always wanting more, which ends up generating conflict, as opposed to trusting that we've been given exactly what we need, which generates an abundance mentality and a life where we feel like we're living in luxury. Thank you for learning together in the merit for a refuah shelema for Yonina Simmer bas Daphne Hinder and all the wounded members of Tzahal amongst all the ill of Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.